Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the book of Revelation, chapter 21, 9 to 14 and 22 to 23. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and talked with me, saying, "Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife." And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Also she had a great and high wall with 12 gates, and 12 angels at the gates, and names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. 3 gates on the east, 3 gates on the north, 3 gates on the south, and 3 gates on the west. Now the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, our bridegroom, our Lamb, whom we'll live with forever in our heavenly home, dear fellow redeemed. Last Sunday, we were introduced to the new Jerusalem coming down out of the heavens from God as a bride adorned for her husband. And we clearly saw that picture, of course, is a picture of the holy Christian church, all believers with Jesus in heaven. In our text this morning, we see more detail as to what we will be like and what it will be like in heaven. Remember, John's writing this book of Revelation to struggling Christians, Christians who are being persecuted and in trials and tribulations because of their faith in Jesus. Their sinful flesh were leading them to fear and doubt and worry. And so the risen, exalted Jesus gives John these revelations, these visions, to encourage him and these struggling Christians to remain faithful, to grow in the Word, and to continue to hear and worship Him who is their life. In our text, we have the assurance that our risen Lord freely gives us, our heavenly home. Once again, we have a symbolical picture of the church triumphant, painted by the Holy Spirit to picture that blessed relationship that the believers have with Jesus in heaven. Our text begins with one of the seven angels speaking to John and saying to him, "Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife." And as we said last Sunday, we clearly know who the bride of Christ is. The bride of the Lamb, of course, is the believers, all those who believe in Jesus because he's the bridegroom. And so once again, we see, as we did last Sunday, this great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. But the question is, how do you and I get into that city? How do we become part of that city? There's only one way. And that's our first point this morning. We enter through its gates. We read in verses 12 and 13. "Also she had a great and high wall with 12 gates and 12 angels at the gates and names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. 3 gates in the east, 3 gates in the north, 3 gates in the south, and 3 gates on the west." In Old Testament times, a great and high wall was to preserve and protect all the inhabitants within that city. And the only way in was through the gates. Well, here, symbolically pictured in heaven, is a great and high wall that protects us forever from all harm to body and soul. And the only way in is through the gates. The number 12 symbolizes the church, the Holy Christian Church. You notice there are 12 gates, 12 angels at these gates, and then the names of the 12 tribes of Israel on the gates. And that symbolizes all the Old Testament believers. All spiritual Israel is there. And the only way to be in that city, in heaven, of course, is through the gate, through the door, which is Jesus, faith in Christ. Jesus clearly, clearly tells us that. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And again, he said even more clearly, "I'm the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved." There's no other way to get into heaven. The 12 angels guarding the gates symbolizes that it's only believers who get into this heavenly home. The picture of the three gates on each of the four sides of this city of Jerusalem, heavenly city, reminds us of how the children of Israel encamped around the tabernacle in the Old Testament wilderness. Three tribes would be on the west, three tribes would be on the north, three tribes on the east, and three tribes on the south. And we see the same thing here, symbolized. What does that symbolize? It symbolizes that believers in heaven will come from all parts of the world, north, south, east, and west. They'll come from all nations, all tribes, all peoples, all races, all countries. But they only could come in by entering through the gate, by believing in Jesus. Our second point, we build on its foundation. As the names of the 12 tribes of Israel were written on the gates symbolizing the Old Testament believers, now we see that the names of the 12 apostles were written on the 12 foundations symbolizing all New Testament believers, you and me. It also symbolizes this. Ephesians 2, Paul writes, "Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." The inspired word of God, through which the apostles proclaimed Jesus crucified and risen to the whole world, establishes the foundation of a church that is so strong and so secure that not all the powers of hell will be able to overcome it. This gospel that proclaims the Lamb of God who was slain to take away the sins of the world and who rose again to assure us of a resurrection is the very foundation upon which we build our faith. And here we see it's the spiritual foundation of this church, all believers in Christ. Now it's very important to note that the foundation is not built upon the persons of the apostles, but the persons of the prophets, but it's built upon the word of God that the apostles and the prophets spoke and wrote and proclaimed. That's clearly seen in Matthew 16 with Jesus' dialogue with Peter. Jesus asked, "Who do men say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has revealed this to you, but my Father who is in the heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." Jesus did not build his church upon Peter. He built his church upon the word that Peter professed, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. The church is built upon the word that the apostles and prophets wrote and spoke. And that's why Jesus is the chief cornerstone. So we too build on the foundation, not of what Pastor Bernthal says, or what the CLC says, or Peace Through Christ, but what God's word says. And a third point, we worship in its amazing beauty. Our text tells us that this new Jerusalem has the glory of God. Her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. When Israel finished setting up the tabernacle in the wilderness, we're told the glory of God filled it. When Moses went in and spoke to God face to face in the temple and came out, his face shone brightly. When the Ark of the Covenant was taken into that beautiful temple that Solomon built, the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And when Jesus was born, we're told the angels came to tell the shepherds of his birth. We're told the glory of God with heavenly light shone all around them. These appearances of the glory of God is a picture of God's promise to dwell with his people. He'll be with them. In heaven, his full glory will shine brightly. He's the light source. He's a luminary. Jesus is a light. There'll be no need for a sun in heaven. Isn't that amazing? God's greatest glory is not his power, his might, his creative act. God's greatest glory is his grace in Christ Jesus. That's why we're told Jesus is the light of heaven. And that we see Jesus also said, didn't he? He said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Jesus, the light, shines upon us, even as the sunlight shines upon our plants and causes them to grow. And he shines upon us with his light of the word and causes us to grow in faith, be created in faith, and grow in faith. He'll be the only light we need in heaven. When John then looked inside those walls at this glorious city of Jerusalem, he saw something that puzzled him. Actually, there's something that he didn't see that puzzled him. What was that? Let me ask you, what was the most amazing, the most important thing in the city of Jerusalem? What would you say? The temple. The temple. That's where God's presence was. That's where the people gathered to worship Jesus, the Lord Jehovah. That's where they came to offer their sacrifices of thanksgiving and praise and honor and glory. And that's where the gospel was proclaimed through those offerings, through those sacrifices. But here, John saw no temple. Why was there no temple in this Jerusalem above? Our text tells us, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. No temples, no church buildings are needed in heaven because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are there all the time. Their presence will always be there. The grace we receive through the gospel, message of salvation, will enjoy continuously every moment of heaven. Not just when we come to church and hear it, a sermon, or read it at home. It'll be, well, I can't say 24/7 because there's no time. It'll be continuously. We'll be in the presence of our Savior and of God. There'll be no need for us to confess our sins. No need for us to come and acknowledge all of our sinful thoughts, words, and actions. No more being plagued by our doubts and our worries. There'll be no more faith. Because we don't need to believe in Jesus. We'll see Jesus face to face. We'll be in his presence in a direct, personal, intimate, spiritual communion with our God. He'll be like sitting out in the backyard and basking in the sun's rays all the time. God's rays coming upon us, his love communing with us all the time, not just once in a while throughout the week, but all the time. How amazing. How awesome. One last thing. We skipped a few verses in our sermon text, verses 15 to 21. In those verses, we're told that the length and the breadth and the height of the city were all equal. A perfect cube. Another symbolical picture of the Holy of Holies. The cube place where once a year the high priest would go in and sprinkled the blood of the sacrificial animal upon the Ark of the Covenant, symbolizing forgiveness of sins and God's washing away our sins through the Lamb who would be sacrificed. Symbolism throughout Revelation. Also, the verses we skipped talk about the city's walls and the amazing beauty of what heaven's going to be like. Now again, the Lord uses these human pictures for us to think of something so glorious we can hardly comprehend it. We read verses 18 to 21 in closing. The construction of its wall was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like clear glass. The foundation of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, that's multicolored. The second, sapphire, dark blue. The third, chalcedony, sky blue. The fourth, emerald, green. The fifth, sardonyx, bright red. The sixth, sardius, purple. The seventh, chrysolite, golden color. The eighth, beryl, a pale green. The ninth, topaz, golden again. The tenth, chrysophas, a golden green. The 11th, jacinth, golden yellow. And the 12th, amethyst, a violet or deep purple. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. Last Sunday, we sang these words, I know not, oh, I know not, what joys await us there, what radiancy of glory, what bliss beyond compare. Even though we have here drawn for us a picture of what heaven's going to be like, we still cannot fully fathom the beauty, the majesty, the glory, the joy, the bliss of our eternal home. But we do have the blessed assurance that our risen Lamb has given us such a heavenly home as this. Amen. The peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.